I'm still amused by all of the, not all, but a lot that I've heard preachers analyzing what's going on. And it's all, you know, the end time. Before God's getting even with America and all this kind of stuff. But first of all, when God gets even, you'll know it. And secondly, people, we're very naive to history if we don't understand what's going on. That is the Jews. If America thinks we can protect the Jews and protect Israel and not be hit back, we live in a very naive spiritual world. We're not going to get away with that. They hate the Jews. It's not even about freedom. It's about Israel. And that's what it's about as far as Christians. We need to understand that. So, okay, let's prepare ourselves now for the study of Scripture. We are in spiritual love with a dynamic aspect of spiritual love. Love envieth not, or love is not jealous. And that is so powerful, and that is so important to our study on depression, anxiety, or stress, anxiety, and depression, why Christians experience those things. And we'll be covering that in a series. I'll start that New Year's Eve night, and then we'll pick it up next year. Somebody asked me an important question. I really hadn't thought about it. When am I going to teach it? Is it going to be Sunday morning in place of John? Is it going to be Tuesday night in place of Revelation? Is it going to be Wednesday night in place of spiritual love? And it was really weird. It's just, I had it all worked out. I've been working on the notes, getting it ready to teach. And, well, when are you going to teach it? Well, I don't know. And that's my answer. I don't know which class we'll be teaching. The stress and the anxiety and depression or Operation Sad, or being who you are in Christ, why Christians suffer these things, and what's going on with Satan's life. So we'll worry about that. I'll deal with that when the time comes. I'm one of those kind of people. It's not procrastination. My view in life is, don't do today what you don't have to. And that's not procrastination. I think a lot of Christians put a lot of pressure on themselves by making decisions and doing things today they don't have to. And they bring a lot, and I've dealt with that a lot. Well, when do you have to do this? Oh, when is this going? Oh, it's, you know, 2 months from now. Well, why are you so stressed out, and why is it such today? The Spirit's got, you know, a couple of months to answer you and to tell you and lead you. So I'll make up my mind. Come to me, and it'll hopefully be the right one. Okay, but right now, spiritual love, so let's get ready. Go into prayer. Heavenly Father, you have never asked anything of us that you first do not give to us. You do not ask us to believe in your Son until you have first given us the grain of mustard seed of faith. You do not have us love until you have first given us the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray now that as we study these things and understand the dynamics of love, spiritual love in our life, what it does, what it doesn't do, what it will not permit, pray that your Spirit will open our eyes, we might see and hear what you would have us to see and hear. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Where are we very quickly in our study? We're in Roman numeral 2 of Love is Not Jealous. And we are looking at Roman numeral 2, spiritual love will not permit jealousy. Human love is permitted. In fact, it is part of human love. I dealt with the case just recently, and the man's reply is, if I wasn't jealous, I wouldn't love her. And I had to really work through with him. And the more he began to see what the Bible was saying, the more upset he got. But spiritual love will not permit jealousy is where we are. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at this. First of all, and this is where we are in our study right now, spiritual love and self. Spiritual love and self. The study on being who you are in Christ, dealing with depression or stress, anxiety, depression, sad, I'm realizing this could go on forever because there's so much in it. So what I'm going to have to do is just deal with certain concepts and then move on and not do any kind of development because there's just so much to deal with in why Christians experience those things that I never realized because I'd never viewed Scripture that way. And the Holy Spirit just opening up so much in my soul about what's going on as far as the soul of so many Christians who experience those things throughout their life or in various aspects of their life. Then we're going to know, notice under B, spiritual love and values. Spiritual love and values. Things that you value in life. And that's going to become very important in regard to jealousy. And then finally, we will look at spiritual love and others. And others involve those that are very close to you, husband, wife, romance, business, family, church, unbelievers, believers. So we deal with that. Now, right now we're looking at spiritual love and self is our first place we're looking. Now, the two things we want to put under here. One, and this is what we looked at last week, and that is that spiritual love recognizes the real you. Spiritual love recognizes the real you. Now, we studied this, like we finished it up last week. If you remember, why do I word it that way? That's a little bit of an unusual way to word what's going on here. Well, this is very important because spiritual love is the immune system to your spiritual life, to your relationship and fellowship and intimacy with God. And as an immune system, the most important thing about any immune system is what? An immune system must be able to recognize the self, recognize self. If it doesn't recognize self, it will kill you. But if it recognizes self, that's the immune system, then it will protect you. And we want a good, healthy immune system, one that recognizes the real, my body, my who I am, and be able to combat it. Spiritual love recognizes the real you. And you recall, why do I emphasize the real you? That is who you are in Jesus Christ. That's the real you. Now, jealousy, on the other hand, recognizes the flesh you. When you and I are jealous, we know one thing about ourselves, we're walking in the flesh. We're walking in the flesh. And therefore, being in the flesh, jealousy is the immune system of the flesh. Whenever it feels threatened, jealousy is going to pop up to protect flesh. Somebody else is complimented. Oh, what about me? Somebody else gets some praise, or somebody else gets something. Somebody else, whatever it is, jealousy or the flesh self goes, wait a minute, what about me? What about me? It can be just a compliment. And the flesh self says, wait a minute, what about me? And so the jealousy recognizes the flesh you, spiritual love recognizes the real you. Spiritual love will not permit jealousy because spiritual love recognizes the real you. Love does not have to be jealous about anything. So we spent the time on that and developed it. We won't go through all the points that we studied at that time. But it does recognize the real you. It recognizes who you are in Christ. Now, that's point one. Now we come tonight to point two. Point two is where we begin tonight in our study tonight. Spiritual love allows you to be content with who you are. People, when jealousy is there, you're not content with who you are. Anytime there is jealousy, you are not content. The flesh is not content with who and what you are. But when spiritual love, when we allow the Holy Spirit to pour in spiritual love, what the Holy Spirit is pouring into us is something that allows us to be content with who and what we are in Christ. It's one of the most wonderful impacts of spiritual love in your life. It allows you to be content with who and what you are in Christ. Here's why this is going to be, as we're going to see over and over, one of the primary solutions to depression, or stress, depression, and anxiety is because we're not satisfied with self. We want something else, and we become frustrated. Anxiety, the seven-headed dragon of the soul, not the seven-headed dragon in Scripture, just using that as an analogy. So there is a seven-headed dragon in our soul. The seven-headed dragon is made up of one head is fear, and another head is jealousy, and another head is anger. And we'll look at all of the seven heads of the seven-headed dragon. And remember, if you don't take care of the seven-headed dragon, all these things we're going to study, being worried, all these things that we'll be looking at, what you're going to do is what most people do, is that we cast these things, taking from our analogy of our studies in Genesis chapter 1, we cast them into the deep of our soul. And that comes from Genesis chapter 1, where God cast all of the fallen angels into the deep. What we do, we all have a deep in our soul. Some people like to call it the subconscious. I'm dealing with it in the sense of our understanding what is happening spiritually. So we cast the seven-headed dragon into our soul, because we don't take care of these things. We cast him into the soul, to the deep of our soul. Now, when he raises his head out of the deep, it now comes up out of the deep as, first of all, stress. If that's not taken care of, it comes up out of your soul as anxiety. And we'll be looking at these things and what they represent. Or it comes up out of your soul, the worst place, as depression. So, you put all this together, and this is Operation Sad, because it is sad what it is doing to your spiritual life. In fact, it is sad what it is doing to your enjoyment of life in general. I don't want to separate your spiritual life, but just enjoying life. If we allow these things to happen, and stress, anxiety, and depression, but what I want to start showing you, just relating it to our study in jealousy, that a lot of stress, anxiety, depression, and all comes because we don't know how to take care of jealousy, and therefore it causes this. Remember, there are three enemies to whom what you are. There is the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, if we just stayed with Satan as the source of this stress and anxiety, we have Satan's lie. And we'll be dealing a great deal with Satan's lie. My self-worth equals my performance. Get into that performance trap. My performance plus others' opinion of me. Especially certain others' opinion of me. So, and this is taught all through the Bible. This is recorded all through the Bible. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the law is based on performance. It's another reason we know God never intended us to live by the law. All these things are dependent on performance. So, if Satan takes us to the Bible and says, see, here it is. It's a Satan's lie, and it will cause that. But let's remember, he's just one of our enemies. We also have the world, and we also have the flesh. And here's what we're looking at. We looked at this a little bit last night. Now we look at it again tonight. Here's where the flesh comes into play. Jealousy. You're jealous of others. And if this starts happening in your own soul, you don't take care of it, and it's going to turn into one or all of Operation Sad. So spiritual love allows you to be content with self. When there is really love, you are content. If a man, and then we'll talk about human love through my example, loves this woman, and this woman, his wife, loves her husband, we're content. Not looking around, not hunting, not flirting, not any of that. They're content. We're content. Love is when it's content. It doesn't have to become jealous and all of these types of things. It allows you to be content with who you are, what you have, and these kinds of things in life. Now, in the realm of spiritual love allows you to be content. I don't have to be jealous of this person. I don't have to be jealous of that thing. I don't have to be jealous of their promotion. I don't have to be jealous of the way they look. I don't have to be jealous of how much money they make. I don't have to be jealous of this and that. Why? I'm very content. When spiritual love is there, not arrogance, but spiritual love, because love is content. I am content with who I am in Christ. I am content. with who I am in the Son of God. So therefore, we don't live in this realm of jealousy and wanting what other people have in that realm. Let's take some sub-points now so that we can, and the reason I'm giving these points is so we can follow through on a thought process. And so let's just take sub-point one now. We're looking at, if you follow where we are in our study now, we are dealing with spiritual love will not permit jealousy, A, spiritual love and self. Spiritual love recognizes the real you, and now spiritual love allows you to be content with who you are in Christ. And people, it's a wonderful way to live. It's a wonderful way to live your life. You will not get into Satan's lie. You avoid stress, competition, anxiety, depression, when you're content with who you are in Christ. Not with who you are in the world, but who you are in Christ. This is one of the most wonderful benefits of allowing spiritual love to flow through you. When Paul says to the Spirit, spiritual love is not jealousy. It's the first negative. And it's the first negative because jealousy is a powerful enemy. It is destructive. It'll rip through you like fire. You can be walking along feeling very good and then kapow. Walk into church and there's somebody that you're jealous of, and I mean, you're wiped out. It all just starts in. And I mean, before you walk in, everything's good, and then you see them. And it just you're not content. There are people that do that kind of thing, even in the secular world, and not that they're unbelievers, but in the gym, you can be, you're very good, and you walk into the gym, and look. This is, why don't I look like that? Why don't I look like that? Why do I look like this? Look in the mirror. You know? No, people with spiritual love is so powerful. It is so unbelievably powerful what God has given us when He gave us love. Spiritual love and the power of the Spirit. Just be content with being what you are in Him. Okay, step point one. Let's start out with a principle. Start out with a principle that we've noted before, but we need to note it here. Spiritual love is reality. Now, where did we study that? We studied it when we studied why spiritual love is the more excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the chapter we're studying, but the last verse in chapter 12 was, I will show you still a more excellent way. And we studied about 13 reasons why spiritual love is the more excellent way. And one of the primary reasons was this. It puts you into the realm of reality. It puts you into the realm of reality. What is God? God is love. When you are walking and having that love poured in you, you are in the reality of the Creator, the Sovereign of the universe. You're in the realm of reality. You're in the realm of reality of who you really are. The flesh has you out to be something you're not. But when you deal with spiritual love, step point one here, spiritual love is reality. Jealousy and envy, love of self, cannot see the reality and ignores the reality, the truth of who you are in Christ. Flesh does not want you to accept who you are in Christ. And we'll see this living under Satan's lie. Oh, yeah, we know, I know. All that stuff that you hear, that boy in Christ, your sins are taken care of and you're a new creation and you're just wonderful and you're holy and you're righteous. But if you know that's not you, look what you just did. You're no good. You're rotten. You're not that pretty. That's somebody else they're talking about. Look what you just did. How do you think you're holy and look what you just did? And so we go right into Satan's law, or Satan's lie. And the way you're going to have to get out of this is perform. You're going to have to perform. Others' opinion of you. And he's got you controlled in. Got you right where he wants you. Once you go over to the flesh, then things like jealousy set in. But spiritual love is reality. Spiritual love sees and understands reality. That is described what happened at the cross, what God does, what Christ does, and it satisfies with who you are in Christ. It accepts the reality. It sees the reality of the spiritual you. This is why I call it spiritual love, another reason. It deals with you and the spiritual person that we are in Christ. Now, jealousy, envy, blinds the soul of reality. That's why you're jealous. It blinds the soul. Jealousy sees only the material, only the things of the flesh. And seeing only the flesh self, it blinds to who we really are in Christ. In other words, it blinds us to reality, what really is important. There are so many Christians that are so stressful in today's world. And if you keep talking to them, it's because they try to keep up with where they think they ought to be in today's world. I've got to have this. I've got to be that. I've got to. And when things aren't working out that way, boy, they become really stressful in their relationships with each other, with husband and wife, and with family, and the church, with God, everything. Spiritual love is very content with hearing what you are in Christ. The religious crowd saw Jesus Christ heal the sick, give sight to the blind, make the lame walk, even raise the dead. But yet jealousy blinded their soul of the truth. Because of jealousy, they refused to see the truth of doing what he is. They were jealous of what he was doing, rather than coming to him by faith. Matthew chapter 27:18. We won't turn there. But they were blinded by jealousy. They could not see. And people ought to be, and will be, for the sake of a lot of people on tape, maybe not you, but at least people on tape, and doing counseling and this type of thing. But when a man or a woman are jealous of their spouse, so often, now there are exceptions where the jealousy may have some foundation as to what the other person is doing. But so often, people that are obsessed with jealousy, they don't see the truth. They are so jealous they will not see that this person really loves them. They will not believe that. I'm not worthy of that person's love. Therefore, they're always imagining there was somebody else because I'm not worthy of their love and I'm jealous of them. I'm jealous of what they're doing. They're not doing anything. But you'll never see it. Why won't you see it? Jealousy blinds. They look and they see this man fulfill all prophecy of the Old Testament. What caused John the Baptist to say, is he healing? Is he doing this? Is he doing that? All those things. Is he raising the dead? All those things. These are the things that Christ does. Okay then. Credentials of the Messiah. But if you look at that same Jesus and you're jealous of what he's doing, you'll never see who he is. It's like you'll never see what's going on in your life if you're blinded by jealousy. So it becomes a horrible thing to control us, this jealousy. People, jealousy in their soul, blind to reality. Jealousy blinds you as to truth. Spiritual love, what does it do? Spiritual love causes you to see reality. What is real? What is real? And people, I don't want to keep these things theological. That's why I give an example, because I want you to understand the biblical principles and the way they come down in your life. You see reality in who and what you are. You see reality in your marriage, in your relationship. You see this reality when you're walking in spiritual love, you see it in the realm. If this person desires to be with you, that's fine. If they don't desire to be with you, your place of reality is stable. See, what God has given us for spiritual love, people, is something that makes you stable. Something that makes you stable. Now, what the world likes to do, and preachers like to tell you, is build a marriage on trust. Trust will make you weak. Trust will make you weak. Trust will make you enslaved to that other person, because if they untrust, if they're not trustworthy, they control you. You go all the way down because they let you down. But see, with spiritual love, people, no matter what others do, it keeps you in reality of who you are in Christ. It gives you that strength of being who you are in Jesus Christ. So spiritual love keeps you in the realm of reality. Spiritual love in the soul gives light to reality, causes you to see what is real. Spiritual love is not afraid. It's very important. Spiritual love is not afraid of reality. Why should it be afraid of? Why shouldn't spiritual love reveal all that you are in Christ? What is there to be afraid about that? Now, if it deals with it in the flesh, then we all got some areas we can worry about. Well, I'm not as rich as this other person. I'm not as handsome as this other person. I'm not as beautiful as he is. I don't have the money they do. I don't have the power. I don't have this. I don't have that. People, we can all sit around and look and see in the realm of flesh. where we fit in. And that's when it's going to develop into Operation Sad. But if we walk in the power of the Spirit, spiritual love cuts out jealousy, because spiritual love is content with who it is in Christ. It turns on the reality of who you are. Spiritual love is not afraid of reality. It's just not afraid of being who you are in Christ. Jealousy blinds us to the truth, as is the truth of where you are, who you are in Christ. Spiritual love, on the other hand, sees the truth and is not frightened by the truth. In fact, is strengthened by the truth. Strengthened by the truth. But people, so many Christians, relate who and what they are by standards of the world. My work, my car, how much money I make, where I live, how I look, all these kinds of things. And that's why so many Christians are so tied up in stress, anxiety, and depression. Keep trying to change it. Keep trying to change. If I change this, I'll be proud. I'll be happy. I'll be good. If I change that, if I change the way I look, if I change my job, if I make more money, if I do this, if I do that. There's some people in the gym, they're in the gym for one reason, and it's not even hidden, for their whole self-image. They're not there for health. It's their whole self-image. And God forbid if they don't end up with a body like Arnold Schwarzenegger, if they're a guy. Maybe he's a girl. But they don't end up, you know, looking really great, because that's their self-image. Whereas a lot of people, just health. I'm not competing with anybody. They're there for health. Work world, money, everything. And that's why the body of Christ has so much stress and anxiety and depression. Got to have. That's why a lot of people can't handle when things start turning, like they did with Job, start losing everything. And then you can't handle that. Okay, we'll cover more on that when we come to our study in being who you are in Christ. Spiritual love is able to know the spiritual self and its relationship with the physical world, and that's where it's powerful. Spiritual love knows the reality of who you are in Christ and who you are in this world that we live in. People, if you just appreciate one important fact about the world, you have a purpose. You have a destiny in the short time you're on earth, and it's not related with human and world standards. It's not related with how much money you make. It's not related with how many children you have, how good your children are, how bad your children are, how this, how that, how anything. It's not related to that. It's related to being transformed into the image of Christ during the short time you have on earth and enjoying the ride. I always feel bad, even as a kid, for the kid that would sit on the roller coaster like this. Why get on it? You're not enjoying it. You're scared to death. No, open your eyes and stand up. Enjoy the thing. Hold your hands up. Enjoy the ride. If you're going to pay the money and ride on it, enjoy it. See, if you're going to live through this rotten life, and I say rotten only in the sense of all the things that happen, enjoy it. And you can do that in spiritual love, because it's just going to keep out all the things that would hurt you, like jealousy, anger, fear. What does John say? He doesn't have it in this, but we know in the epistle of 1 John, where there is love, there is no... Come on, 1 John. Fear. Thank you. I was getting ready to turn to it. Where there is love, there is no fear. Love takes out fear. So this is why spiritual love is so powerful, what God has given to us. Okay, step 1-2. Spiritual love allows you to be content with who and what you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. The greatest enemy to contentment is jealousy. Greatest enemy to contentment is jealousy or envy. It's one of the most wonderful impacts of spiritual love. In your life, being content with not only who you are in Christ, but what you have in Christ. This is where I am. This is what God has given. And when you can develop in spiritual love, that there is no jealousy, then you have that contentment. Believers lose their contentment because of jealousy. Many believers are jealous because they are not content with who they are and what they have in Christ. Yeah, but this other person is a Christian and they have a whole lot. That's what God's dealing with them then. They're going to have their own battle. Yeah, but no, he's not going to give everybody the same thing. I'm sorry. But what spiritual love allows you, see, remember we already studied this point earlier. Spiritual love allows you to live in inequality and not be enviously jealous. Inequality of all calibers. IQ, physical makeup, everything. Spiritual love will allow you to be content in that realm with not only who you are, but what you have in Christ. Many believers are jealous because they are not content with who they are in Christ. The impact of spiritual love is to be content. Okay, it's time for some passages. Exodus chapter 20. Anybody know before you even turn what's in Exodus 20? Ten Commandments. Good! Exodus 20. And we know that we're not to live by the law, but I want to show you something. Even with that in mind. Exodus 20. Now, what I want to look at is the last of the, what is called the Ten Commandments. You really realize there are over 1,400 in the law. But we can't even do 10. So let's not worry about the other 1,438 or whatever it is. Okay, we can't even do the 10. All right, look at verse 17. Verse 17. You shall not covet. Okay, here it is. Now that you, we will not be envious or jealous. Covet. To covet or to be jealous is not to be content with who and what you are and what you have. Spiritual love means that you are content with who and what you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. This is what we have happening. Now, let's look at, for a moment, look at verse 6. Just in the same place, and then I want to move on. Verse 6, part of the second commandment. By showing love to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. But he's not talking about these commandments, because it's impossible, and we studied all of that. Now let's jump all the way to Hebrews. All the way from almost one end of the Bible to the other end of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. One thing I like about our study of spiritual love, it takes us to a lot of different passages. All right, Hebrews chapter 13. Last chapter of Hebrews. Let me tell you, I'm sure somewhere, I don't know how when, and then I've made this, but now you can get to see it since we're right here. Let me tell you why I think Hebrews is written by a woman. Look at verse 22. That's 13 chapters. But I urge you, brethren, here with this word of exhortation, for I have written you briefly. As it says, in few words. 13 chapters, and this writer says, few words. So, well, I thought it was funny. Ladies, don't get hyper. Just relax and enjoy the humor. Okay. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your character. Okay. What is character? It's the momentum of your life. That which makes the daily decisions in and out. People were all going to sin. So let's don't get sidetracked by that. This is the daily momentum of your life. People with great character sin. It doesn't extract from the fact they have character. So, let the momentum of your life. This is what we're talking about now. Let your character. See, the things that determine all that we are. The things that you love. The things that bring you contentment. The things that are directly related to this are things that you love. And we'll study a lot of these things. And So, let your character, your life, your momentum be free of the love of money. Love of money is one guarantee that you will never, ever be content with your life. Just mark that in your soul. The love of money will guarantee you will never be content with your life. Now, doesn't say there's anything wrong with money. The problem is when you have love of money. Let your character be free. This is the midst of what we're studying now. Let your character be free of the love of money. Now look what it says. Being content with what you have. Wow. Present middle participle. The word content. Satisfied. Like so many places in the Bible. Now let's just talk a moment. That sounds good, doesn't it? Be content? I mean, look what it says. It sounds great. It says, being content with what you have. And we can all agree, boy, that's great. That's what I want. Did she tell you how to do it? Right here? This is what a lot of preachers do. You walk away, boy, it's a great sermon. But he didn't know how to do it. Didn't give me a clue on how to do it. I already know what to do. I already know what not to do. What I don't know is how to do it. Is this something I'm supposed to do in the energy of the flesh? I can't do that. People, let me just tell you, if you're going to try to do these things in the flesh, just understand something. It is the nature of the flesh not to want to do that. You're trying to change the nature of the flesh to change it. If we can do what we're talking about in the flesh, we're going to kill flesh. We're going to destroy flesh. Because flesh is never content with what it has. And we can't do that. We're not going to do this in the flesh. The flesh is not going to allow us to do it. Now, those are some people with great self-discipline, and they can go through and do this, but we can't do this in the flesh. How am I going to do this? Be content in the flesh. Be content with what you have. And it's not confined to the material things. But in context, it does deal with the material things, the money. Be content with what you have. Don't be jealous of somebody else's house, somebody else's lifestyle, somebody else's car, somebody, and especially somebody else's husband, somebody else's wife, somebody else's, hey, whatever it might be content. Okay, now, how can I be content? Spiritual love. Spiritual love allows you to be content with who and what you are in Christ. People are not giving you theology. I'm talking about something that is reality. You can experience this. Learn to be content. The more you walk in the Spirit, in spiritual love, you will be content with what you have, who you are, where you are, what God does. Can Lazarus be totally content sitting out of the rich man's gate? Or is he going to sit there, lousy rich man, doesn't he take me in when it's raining? Why do I have to sit out here? I'm a Christian. I trust God. I believe in God. And look where I am, sitting here in front of this man's house begging for food. Can you have inner peace of what he is? Yes. In Christ. We all can, people. Wherever we are, whatever we can have contentment. Be content. As spiritual love allows you. Let's finish the verse. Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Now, I want to ask you a question. I've got to ask this, so I can't let this verse go by. Does that verse mean that no Christian walking in the Spirit will ever die of hunger? No. Don't read that verse that way. Don't do that to God. Don't do that to yourself. Does that mean that no Christian throughout all church history, in the power of the Spirit, will die of the elements, freezing cold? No. Don't do that. What this is saying is, God's going to satisfy your needs for what you need to do what He wants you to do that day. And if my day is over, and He takes me out by starvation or the elements or whatever it is, that's fine. I'm going home. But we can count on Him taking care of our needs for the days as long as He's given us. Now turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. One of the first books I want to do next year when we start meeting on Thursday night, just sitting here going through books. I am going to do that. For this, I don't know what we're going to start, but we're just going to meet on Thursday night. I'm not going to do a lot of study. I'm not going to do a lot of preparation because all we're going to do is cover books. We're just going to sit there. James Taylor wanted to do it, and he still harasses me to do it. And so we'll just come down on Thursday evening. We may just sit down, and depending on how many are here, and have a Coke or something and just go through books and talk about them. I won't be able to answer every question because I will not have studied like I said. But we'll just sit down and go over them and see what we see and see what we learn. Philippians will be one of the first books. It is so powerful with spiritual love. It is so powerful in seeing things. But let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Go to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to stop in our journey in verse 11. Philippians 4, 11. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content with whatever circumstances I am in. Okay, now, he has learned this. Okay, people, this is not an academic type of learning. This is not, well, if you have enough information, you got it. No, this is, I have learned in the power of the Spirit, I have learned experientially, taking in the truth of doctrine. I'm not just taking that out. But what I want you to see is just the knowledge doesn't get you here. Just the knowledge doesn't get you where we are in this passage. It's believing what you understand in Scripture and allowing the Spirit to cause you to be content. People, this is going to be a very important verse in dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression. Why are we stressed out and anxiety and depression? Because we're not content with the circumstances. We saw last night in dealing with the plan of God in Revelation. When do we get stressed out, anxiety, and depression? When we have a plan and it isn't working out. Again, I use this, rather just a very simple, but I think it communicates to everybody. People, your friends, family, whatever, but let's go eat. Now, tonight you don't care. What do you want to eat? I don't care. I always hate that when I ask a lady where she wants to eat. I don't care wherever. Don't do that. I want to take you out. I want you to enjoy it. No, it's wherever. Okay, so you decide wherever. And wherever you go, you're happy. And you enjoy it. If you really meant that. Now, you got a plan. You got a plan of where you want to eat. And for whatever reason, the people or person you're with, you end up somewhere else. You're not going to enjoy the meal. You're not going to enjoy the food. You're not going to enjoy the company. You're stressed out. You're angry. Why? Because you had a plan. People, our plan is all, when it's in conflict with God's plan, let me tell you something. You set yourself up for stress. You set yourself up for anxiety. When we have a plan, to the degree you have a plan, to that degree, you set yourself up to stress, anxiety. To the degree that we have a plan for our life, now, God bless my plan. No, that isn't the way it works. Here's my plan, God, that you bless it. No, here's my plan. You trust me. That's the way it works. And when we live that way, where does stress go? Just in my example, where does stress go? I don't care what we eat, and you really mean that. I'll enjoy being with you wherever we go. Then you're not stressed out. No, I want to eat here, or I want to go do this. We're getting into the holidays. I want to go there. I want these people here. And in your mind, you've got it all set up. Well, this is the best thing for the children. The best thing for, let's take pick on the man. Best thing for my, I have this really figured out where everybody's going to be happy. You know, the teenager wants to be with teenagers. The 10-year-old wants to watch a movie. Everybody's got something. Well, you got it all planned out. And now you're angry and frustrated and anxiety at the family because they don't want to do what you want. And your plans are not working at Thanksgiving. Your plans are not working at Christmas. Your plans are not working at New Year's. So guess what's going to happen? You're not going to enjoy that day. You're not going to enjoy that night because you had a plan. Take that to the spiritual realm. I don't enjoy my life. Well, why don't you enjoy your life? I don't enjoy it. Are you in the plan of God? You know, and you say, yeah. No. If you're in the plan of God, and you're pleased to be in the plan of God, guess what? You're going to like your life. You're going to be content. If this glorifies God, I'm content with that. Whatever it may be. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Now that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content with whatever circumstances I am in. Now, one more passage on jealousy, spiritual love, and contentment, not being jealous. Look with me, if you will, please, at Psalm 73, and we'll close with this one. Psalm 73. I love the Psalms. Love the Psalms. Okay, Psalm 73. Let's take a look. What's going on here is a tribute to the impact of jealousy in your soul. It's a tribute to the absence of contentment because there is jealousy. Jealousy destroys your contentment. So let's take a look now. All right, verse 1, Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Well, what does pure in heart mean? That means those walking by faith and not with their own plan, not with some other ideal in mind. Now, verses 2 and 3. Okay, look what intrudes on that relationship with God. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. Why? For I was envious of the arrogant. We studied this, so just read through with me. I was envious of the arrogant, and as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So we've looked at this. He's envious of arrogant, boastful. Actually, the boastful. He's envious of the boastful. They have pains. For there are no pains in their death. I like people that like to talk about spiritual death and all. Here these people are just dying, very relaxed, asleep, probably not even aware of the death, and their body is fat. That means rich, satisfied. Doesn't mean necessarily they're overweight. It means fat is in the Old Testament was you're full. You've got some good food in. You've got honey from the honeybees, and you've got just good food. You're fat. They are not in trouble. Now, that means in the trouble of other men. I know preachers, well, I don't ever do this and I don't ever do that. No, you don't live like man. You don't even know what you're teaching. So, nor are they plagued like mankind, plagued with all the suffering, trials, and problems. Therefore, pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Their eyes bulges from fatness. The imaginations of their soul run riot. In other words, they just carry out all of their schemes, whatever they have in mind. They mock and wildly speak of oppression. They speak from on high, the high places, their idol worship, idolatry. They have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue parades through the earth, cosmic thinking. Therefore, his people return to say, well, it just goes through. But the problem that they're dealing with is their arrogance. Their arrogance. Now look, 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. Only you know when you reach that point, people. We can all say those words, but only you know the truth. Only you know if you're content with who you are in Christ. no matter what happens to you on earth. Only you know. My flesh and my heart may fail. Sin, lack of production. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Portion, prosperity. For behold, those who are far from thee will perish. Thou hast destroyed all those who are unfaithful to thee. But as for me, the nearness of God is my debt. Only you know if that's true of you. Assembly, studying scripture, walking in the spiritual life, experiencing his love. I have made the Lord God my refuge. People, when this becomes a reality, what do you think is going to happen to stress, to anxiety, and to depression? If this verse is true, as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all of thy works. There's no place for these for sad, stress, anxiety, and depression. When you and I are walking in spiritual life, directed toward God, directed toward one another, directed toward one another, we're not jealous. Directed toward God, we're totally content in him. This is something that every believer has the right to have and to claim. This is what spiritual love will do. This is how it wipes out this whole thing. We're studying many aspects of how to take care of stress, anxiety, and depression, but spiritual love is just one of the strongest. We're studying many of them that are there in the Bible, as I've already hinted as we've gone through these past few months. But this is taken care of when you have this relationship with God and you really are content with who you are in Christ. Closing a word of prayer. Any questions? Okay, closing a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, wow, what an awesome God you are. In your wisdom, you have given to us something that is so powerful, so magnificent in dealing with our daily lives. Giving to us the Spirit and through him spiritual love, we can enjoy every day of our life, regardless of what's going on. We can enjoy every day of our life, regardless of the circumstances, if we have your love flowing through, this love toward you. Father, we praise you for the God that you are. We praise you that you have made it so, so simple. It is so difficult to walk by faith, but it is so simple. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen. So no class next Wednesday. Stay with your family and Thanksgiving.